Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
Welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and today we welcome our very special guest, Dane Heer. Dr. Dane Heer is an influencer of change and inspiration with a community of over a million plus people. Millions engage with him across social media, and his videos regularly go viral. He's a popular personal development expert, speaker, author, and inviter to greatness and consciousness. Originally raised in the ghettos of Los Angeles and trained as a chiropractor, Dr. Heer is also the co-founder of a diverse range of businesses around the world. A conscious and creative thought leader with a profound understanding of the power of personal creation, Dr. Heer draws upon his background and unique perspective to facilitate positive change in the world and empower people from every culture, country, age, and social strata to create the money, relationships, and life they truly desire. And I actually have a very personal connection with Dr. Dane. Many years ago when I was coming onto the scene, he was I would love to be able to share the stage with him someday. And so we've shared the stage on several telesummits over the years, but we also had the opportunity to spend time and share the stage in person on a cruise back in 2013 or 2014. And it was just such a beautiful opportunity to be with him in person and to deepen that connection and to play in consciousness. And so it is a huge pleasure and honor to have you with us today. Dr. Dane, thank you so much for coming.
Emerald, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. So I want to start by talking about your calling. Like, how did you wake up? You came from the ghettos, you practiced as a chiropractor, and now you are this epic leader across the globe of people who are raising their consciousness. Tell us a little bit about your calling and how you came to be who you are today.
Well, it's a bit of a long story, so I will try to shortcut that because I tend to talk a lot anyway. 19 years ago, I was at a place where I was going to end my life. I, even as a little kid, even after experiencing dynamic abuse, physical, sexual, emotional, and pretty much every form of abuse you can experience, I always looked at that and I'm like, it doesn't have to be that way. There's got to be something else possible. So I'm a seeker. I'm one of those people who will try anything at least once, believing in more possibilities. So I'd done so many workshops by the time I was about 30 years old. I'd done so many workshops, both spiritual, personal development, about changing money, about changing everything. And there were so many of those where I thought, yay, I finally found the answer. And by Wednesday of the following week, it felt like the universe had crashed back down on my head again and all those possibilities were gone. And I got so frustrated. I said, universe, you have 6 months. Either my life truly changes this time or I'm out of here. And I planned a date to leave. And a week later, I came across something called Access Consciousness, and I resisted it because it said, all of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory. And rather than going, yay, I went, I hate you. My life is pain, suffering, and gory, you know. But I learned long before that, that if you love something or hate it, there's something there for you. So I ended up calling this girl and having a session of something called Access Consciousness Bars. And it's a really light touch technique on the head. And she just puts her hands in a place and then moved them to all kinds of different places over this hour and 15 minutes. And within a few minutes, I felt this energy of peace flow through my body. And then I started giggling like a little kid. And I was like, and I had not laughed for the better part of 3 years. I went into that session depressed and suicidal and wanting to leave. And I left with a sense of gratitude for being alive that I never thought I'd find again. And I thought, you know what, if it feels this way to be alive, I'm in. And so that was the beginning of my journey with this work called Access Consciousness. And that truly was the very beginning. And truly, I never truly contemplated killing myself again after that session. But what happened was the girl that did the session gave me these tools that I could use when it felt like the universe wanted to crash back in on my head. And I would use the tool. And I got a tool once a week because I would get these bars once a week and I would do chiropractic on her because I couldn't afford to pay for the bar session. So we traded chiropractic for bars. And every time I would use the tool she gave me, I would return into the space that I was after the bar session. I was like, wow, finally, something that actually works in the trenches of life to create a sense of lightness and ease. And within a very short amount of time, I met the founder of Access. And within a few months after that, he and I started working together. And a couple of years after that, we became business partners. And so I've been blessed to be able to co-create this work around the world for the last 19 years. And when I started 19 years ago, we were in 3 countries, and we probably had a few hundred people, maybe 1,000 on our mailing list. And at this point, we're in 176 countries, and we have hundreds of thousands that we interact with on a daily basis. And it's just this beautiful gift to see that there is something that actually works, but also to be part of continuously changing it so it works better and giving more tools to people so they can start to change the things in their life that don't work, and or where there's possibility that they know they should have, actually give them a way to get there.
Yeah, beautiful. So one of the things that just popped for me in the storyline was that you were at a point where you didn't have the money to pay for this, right?
Yes.
And now you're a leader of millions of people all over the world, flourishing collaborative business partnership. And what I'd like to ask you about is, you know, especially for people who are in the consciousness realm, a lot of times people who are in the consciousness realm, their focus, their life force energy is like focused on how do we become more conscious and less focused on how do we become more profitable, right? And how
yes,
do we become,
absolutely.
How do we become financially fluent in this world, right? While at the same time opening up to the possibilities of unlimited possibility. And so I actually see you as kind of the face a lot of times of Access Consciousness and more of the business person. And maybe I'm misreading that, but it feels to me like there's something that you bring to the table in the business aspect of things that I think would be really powerful for you to share with our listeners. Like, how do you go from broke to internationally acclaimed, you know, highly profitable business owner?
Well, I say there's roughly 3 answers to that question. And number one, because there's a lot in what you brought up that would apply to so many people, and I understand it firsthand. First is, we have a definition of consciousness and Access Consciousness. There are a lot of people speaking consciousness, but they don't have a definition of it that allows it to be as big as it could be for them. And so they end up excluding money, they exclude joy, they exclude a lot of things that would actually make their lives easier. And so our definition of consciousness is where everything and everyone exists and no one and nothing is judged. So money is also included in consciousness. And so if we can just start with that to shift things a little bit in our awareness, because we have this idea that somehow money is bad or wrong, or that people who have money are only consuming the planet. But I know as many people that are assholes that have very little money as I do assholes that have money. You know what I mean? An asshole is an asshole. That's just a choice. You know, money just makes you more of who you are. And so the question that I ask to the people that are in this realm of desiring change for the world, but don't allow themselves the money, my question to them is, can you change the world more with money or without money? And of course, the answer is with, because there are things that you can contribute to. There are things that we can contribute to collectively that are not available if you don't have the money to do it. And once again, now, whether you choose money or not, I don't care. You know what I mean? In other words, if you hear this conversation and go, well, money's not for me, it's like, okay, cool. I'm just saying they don't have to be mutually exclusive. And in fact, they're mutually inclusive if you'll allow it to be. If your perspective is, I'm going to use my money to change people's realities. This is one of the things that Gary said to me. And, you know, once again, Gary, the founder of Access, he said to me when we first started working together, he said, the purpose of money is to change people's realities for the greater. And I heard him say that and I went, thank you so much. I'm willing to have money now. And from that moment, my financial situation started changing based on one choice. And this is the other thing we need to recognize is that it's the choice to have money and the willingness to do what it takes that actually gives us the money. But we have to recognize this. If the purpose of money is to change people's realities, well, then why would you keep yourself from it? You know, and why wouldn't you be willing to allow yourself to do whatever it takes? Let me give you an example that really basically brought the point home for me personally. Is I have a nephew, one of these amazing kids. I call him a humanoid. And a humanoid is one of those like amazing kids who's like a seeker, who's always looking for different things and different possibilities, you know? And so he went to first grade and loved it. His teacher totally got him, loved the fact that he asked questions about everything and explored everything and was talking all the time. And then he went to second grade and the teacher made him wrong every single day to such an extent that after 2 months of school, he was coming home as a 7 or 8 year old with his shoulders slumped and getting depressed because his teacher didn't get him. And my sister called and told me this. And she said, you know, this is what's going on. I said, find a private school near you. I said, because in a private school, they're a lot more lenient because they want your money. I said, and get him enrolled in a private school. Well, it just so happened there was a private school less than a mile away from their house. And so she went there. He visited for a day because they let them go there and check it out for a day. And he came back and he was alive again, like that little kid that was in first grade. It's like, oh my gosh, Mom. And I talked and I asked questions and the teacher loved my questions and all the kids like me and all this stuff. And my sister said, well, he loved it. She's like, but I can't afford it. I said, you put him in that school. I'm paying for it. And she went, I can't let you do that. I'm like, you can't stop me from doing that. Okay. I said, this is between me and him. Get out of the way and get the kid enrolled. And had I been in the financial situation that I was before Access, had I not changed it to the point where I had enough money to do this, this kid's entire future would be less than it could be. You know, in telling people that story, it's like, this is why for me, the thing about having money or not having money, it's not about the stuff you can buy and all that sort of thing. That's great also, but it's these opportunities and these possibilities we have to contribute to other people that make it such an amazing gift to be able to have money, not the curse that people often think it is.
Mm. Yeah. So what I'm hearing there is twofold. One is it's really about stewarding the money and directing it in the direction of, you know, higher possibility. And number two, it's about making a contribution to the potential within others. You know, using this example, your nephew, like you made this massive contribution into the potential of this child that was being literally squashed right out of him. So I really love how you are holding your stewardship of the creation of money and the channeling of money in the direction of higher possibility. That's awesome. So we are going to take a short break. It's already at that time. And when we come back, we're actually going to talk about your new book, Return of the Gentleman, which I'm really excited to find out a little bit about that. But right now, Men on Purpose, we could use some help. If you're enjoying this show and would like us to stay on the air, please consider making a donation at www.menonpurposepodcast.com. We'd also like to ask you to share with your lovely lady friends that we have a brand new show now being broadcast called Wickedly Smart Women that's just for them. I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've had thousands and thousands of downloads from all over the world, and I want to shout out this week to our listeners in Australia. Thank you for tuning in, and we will be right back with Dr. Dane here.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Dr. Dane here. Before we went to the break, I talked a little bit about his new book, Return of the Gentleman, and I want to let you know where you can find out more about Dr. Dane and all of the fun things that he has going on, including this new book. You can go to drdanehere.com. That's drdanehere.com. And we will have that in the show notes for you. And what I'd love to do now, Dr. Dane, is to come back and ask you about this process of creation, because you are also a powerful creator. So you're creating all kinds of amazing realities with and for other people, and you've created this amazing new book, Return of the Gentleman, which as soon as I heard that, I was like, "Ooh, what does that mean? I'm excited. I can't wait to hear more about that." So tell us a little bit about the book, but also tell us about your own creation process. Like, how does inspiration flow for you? How do you, you know, set aside time for creation, or are you always in creation? Talk a little bit about your process as well as about this new book, if you would, please.
Well, I would say for me, I'm always in create mode. In fact, I'm a bit of a hyperactive creator. I am going all the time and I will see something that I've already created and then see how could this actually contribute more to people? Because my entire target is for us to create a sustainable living earth for the next 10,000 years or more. And in order for us to do that, the one thing that is going to have to change on the planet is we're going to have to actually get conscious. And consciousness is the one thing. It's recycling is great, and all these other things that we're doing to try to change things are great. But unless we change the level of consciousness, those things are not enough. And so that is my target. But knowing my target is one of the things that allows me to create in the way that I do. And so I ask people out there, what is your target? Is it possible that what you desire is to create a sustainable living earth also? And what contribution can your creations be to that? Because for me, everything that I create has to be a contribution. I'm not one of those people, and I would imagine a lot of your listeners are the same, where you can just create something to make money or create something to take from other people or take advantage of other people. That doesn't work for me. And so what I've also found is a lot of people that would be listening to this conversation have the similar point of view. And so what they create actually needs to be something that's a contribution, because that's the only time the creation will continue to flourish and thrive, but also it's the only time they're willing to receive from that creation, which has a consciousness of its own. And so what I ask people to do, like here we are right now, you know, it's the very end of 2019. I'm not sure when this will air, but it's, so here we are, we're going into 2020. And what I ask people to do, they're like, how do I, you know, there's so many things I want to change. I say, do this, get the sense of, if you really get on your game and choose everything you can and let the universe contribute to you, get the sense and get the energy of what is possible for you. If you had a magic wand, what would be possible for you by the end of 2020? And just get the sense of the energy, not the specific thing like my business will get this big or I'll have this relationship or I'll have this amount of money or I'll live in this place, but get the sense of the energy of the life you would truly like to have if you had a magic wand. And now ask for it and go, hey, universe, consciousness, please help. I will do whatever I need to. I will create whatever I need to. I'm willing to lose anyone or anything. I'm willing to gain anyone or anything. And I'm willing to change anything in my life that I need to change in order to be whatever I need to be to have that as my life and living. And then just ask for it. And anything that feels like that energy, do it. Even if it's a cup of coffee with a friend. So the way the Return of the Gentleman book came about was I had a young man who, so given that I do this every year, okay, that's the backstory behind it. Given that I do this every year and given that I have a sense of the target and I know that the universe will give me the information I need in order to know what the next thing is to create. Well, so here I am at a class and there's a 23-year-old kid that I know well that's a friend of mine who comes up and he says, thank you so much for being you. And I went, wow, thank you. What do you mean? Because it had an interesting energy to it. He said, well, he's like, I know you don't know this, but from the time I was a teenager, I Googled how to be a good man. And the only thing that I found online was how to get women in bed, or how to lie about who you were and pretend you're something you're not so women will like you. And I went, wow. And he said, with you, I see somebody who is truly walking their talk. He said, he's all, you're sexual and you make no apologies for it. You love women, but you're willing to have their back. You dress well, impeccably actually, but you're not gay. He's like, and by the way, who cares if you are gay? That's not the point. Okay. But he said all these things and I went, wow. I'm like, and I thought somewhere in my world, I thought, well, of course this information is available to everybody. And I said that to him. I'm like, isn't this information out there? Like these conversations that we've been having in class. And he said, no, it's not out there anywhere. And I went, okay. So we got together with some guys. We did a series of four Zooms and had some really vulnerable conversations. And we had this amazing transformation that occurred in all the men that watched it. And they would send emails saying, thank you. I realize I can be sensitive and potent, that it's okay for me to like women and like sex with women and still uphold women's rights and have a woman's back. And I don't have to be either the asshole or the sensitive new age guy. I don't have to be alpha male or sensitive new age guys. Like, and so these guys got an awareness that they could be everything they were, and that the real target is actually liking the person looking back at you in the mirror. And then the women who listened to the Zooms were also, by the way, the Zooms were the backbone of the book. And I took those, had those transcribed because they just touched on so many topics. And then they became the backbone of the book. But what I've got now is I've got a lot of men and women reading the book. And women send me these emails saying, thank you so much for writing this book. My husband has read this. And I have the man back that I married. I don't know where he went, but I don't even know what he was doing, but I see so many aspects of what he was doing in the book. And now he's being him again, and our relationship is better than it's ever been. So I don't know if that answered your question.
Totally. Talk a lot. It's beautiful. Beautiful. You did a great job. So I want to underscore for our listeners a few things that I heard. One is that in your creation process, you know that the next thing will eventually be shown to you. And so what that says to me when I hear that is that there is this element of absolute trust that you have. And, you know, trust in yourself, trust in your knowing, trust in your relationship with consciousness and the universe. And I think that self-trust is something that gets eroded in everyone, not just men, but that then causes men and women to put on these masks or pretend to be something that they're not, or play these weird roles that aren't really authentic to who they are. So I'd love to have you talk a little bit about both trust and choosing. Like you've used that word choose all the time. And so if you could just talk a little bit about what you do to cultivate even deeper trust in yourself and the universe and consciousness and your creative power. And then, you know, kind of just bring us back to the beginning of choosing what you're going to create in the world, including yourself.
Well, I think one of the biggest aspects of this is we have to start where we are. If between here and the creation of a book or the creation of whatever we desire, our level of success or a change in the world or whatever is a journey of 1,000 steps, we have to start where we are and take step number one. Because until you take step number one, step number two doesn't even show itself. And so, you know, I've become highly aware of this. And so for me also, though, I have this implicit trust in consciousness, that consciousness will always have my back. It will never give me anything I can't handle. And that when something shows up that looks like something that is terrible, vicious, mean, awful, or bad, that it's always my point of view that creates it that way. And it's always a chance for me to change my point of view into something greater that will work better for me. And so this, what a lot of people do, like, okay, so I've been doing Access, been being part of Access for the last 19 years. So somebody could see me on stage now or hear about my life now and go, well, I want that, but I have no idea how to get there. It's like, well, cool. I want that, or I would like that, is great. And yet start where you are. You can't start where I am. I've been doing this for 19 years and I do it every single day, but it also doesn't mean it's going to take you 19 years to get your version of whatever you desire that somebody else has, because everybody who embraces something, chooses something, and creates something that has never existed before, opens the space and makes it easier for everybody who comes after them to have it.
And so, like the 4 minute mile guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of my favorite examples. You know, I love that. And after he did it, everybody does it now, you know?
Right.
And so it's a similar thing where you're opening actually a new area of consciousness and possibility, but you need to ask yourself, okay, what can I do and be? And every day wake up and go, okay, if I were truly creating my life today, what would I choose right away? And if I had no limitations, what would I choose? And if I lived in a world of infinite possibilities, what would I choose? And so it becomes more a matter of two things. Number one, starting where you are, but starting, do something, do anything, begin, because that gets the energy moving. And then every day you ask those questions, and then you start to look for those things, because what's true makes you lighter, a lie makes you heavier. So you want to start to look for those things that make you lighter when you think about doing them, or when people that you think about being around and it makes you lighter, it's because they're acknowledging what's true for you. But also with that awareness, what's true makes you lighter, but also that energy that I asked you to get about you could have anything by the end of 2020, what would it be? Anything that has a sense, a tickle of that energy, do it, because this is something that we've been missing forever. And it's basically, I don't want to say a roadmap because it doesn't work that way, but it's a way of knowing what to choose to have that as our life. You know, a lot of us are like, I have no idea what to choose. Well, if you get the energy of what you truly desire, as if you had a magic wand, meaning none of your limitations or anybody else's get in the way of it. This is just what I desire. I don't know how I'm going to create it, but the how is up to the universe and consciousness. But the way you find out how, or the how for you, is to get in touch with that energy and know it like the back of your hand, but don't conclude what it is or what it means. Don't say, oh, it's a 4-bedroom house in this place at this time. And no. It's an energy, because if you go with the energy, the universe will make it show up even greater than you could with your conclusions. Yeah. And if you go with the conclusion, you're going to make sure it doesn't show up, because you like to do that to yourself. But that's why we have all of Access Consciousness, by the way, is to get over that crap. But anyway, so if you get the energy, then anything that feels like that energy, do it. Every single day, anything that feels like that energy, do it, even if you don't want to do it. At the very least, you'll get an awareness of what you don't desire, and you won't have to go knock on all kinds of locked doors that aren't going to open for you. But what could happen is you go have coffee with somebody, you tell them what you're up to, what you're interested in, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh my gosh, I know somebody. Maybe I could hook you up with them. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the universe has these miracles in store, and we keep limiting it by us trying to control it.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to get over, is us trying to control it. We need to be willing to do the work. Okay. Mm. We've got to be willing to do the work. There's so many people out there in the world that are like, yes, I'm just going to sit back and be gifted to, I'm learning to receive. No, that's learning to be a couch potato. That is not learning to receive. Okay. Learning to receive is doing the work and being willing to also reap the rewards and the possibilities that come from it.
Yeah. Well, so what I got there, and we are at the end, but I want to just underscore what I was seeing as you were talking about this creating and choosing. It's really about keeping it at the essential level. And then as that is held out there in the future, that essential energy of what it is that you're looking for or wanting to create, then it begins to pulsate signals, right? And then you just follow the signals. It's almost like dolphins following the pod, or the, you know, the sonar. There's like a signaling system, and the choice is in each moment to choose to align and follow those signals, even if they're zigzaggy or kind of like a bee going through the garden to gather pollen, which is not necessarily always a straight line. So that's what I heard. And I am just so grateful that you came and saw and shared and expressed yourself, and that you are in the world creating this amazing vision of an earth that is going to be sustainable and living and vital 10,000 years from now. What a huge vision and a huge mission. And you are such a magnificent man on purpose. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Dane.
Emerald, thank you. Truly honored and truly grateful.
Yeah. All right, listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show. We do have a new listener line set up where you can call in and leave a message. That'll be in the show notes. Or you can send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at Men on Purpose Podcast. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.